Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday edition of The Morning Show with morning show hosts, me, Julie Calamine, and my show host, Phil Huff. Good morning, Phil.
Morning, Julie. How are you?
I'm fine. How have you been?
I've been doing pretty good.
Oh, good. Well, has there been a high point for you in the last week that you'd like to share?
A high point. We're going to be talking about a lot of high points today. I was kind of wishing that this was the 11th, not the 12th, because that's International Mountain Day.
Oh, my.
And the topic seems so appropriate, but that was something contrived by the United Nations about 15 years ago to highlight the needs of indigenous communities, mountain communities around the world. But it also coincides with the late fall practice of some small schools in New England to take essentially a senior skip day and climb Mount Greylock, the highest peak in Massachusetts.
On December 11th.
Well, they're around just before finals.
All right. Very good. Yeah. And I must say that we may have additional listeners this morning because I was out with the Monday Hikers yesterday and I talked up this show because it relates to them, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Yes. It'll be a talk with three gentlemen who've hiked, well, two of the three have hiked three peaks in one day, three difficult peaks in the area. We'll get to that in a moment, but I'm going to start with weather. So, weather has been so wonderful, hasn't it? Sunny and a little cool, crisp, great for hiking, but it looks like we're seeing a change in the weather. Today, it's looking like cloudy skies, high of 32. Tonight, cloudy again with a low of 21. Tomorrow, we're going to have mostly cloudy with a high of 33. It goes on and on, but you can see where we're headed. Mostly cloudy, highs in the 30s, lows in the low 20s and high teens.
Yeah, it's we could use a little snow now that it's cold.
Yes, that's true. Although snow does not lend itself to hiking high peaks, and this is our topic today, so let's introduce our guests.
Well, we have with us in the studio local hikers Don Otis, Landon Otis, his son, and Jeff Beeman. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Great to be on.
Yes.
Good to be on.
That's Jeff and Landon. Say good morning so folks will recognize your voice.
This is Landon. Good morning.
Yeah, it's great to have you here today. And Phil, there's a kind of interesting story about how these three gentlemen came to be on our show this morning. And it's because one of the three, Jeff Beeman, lives near me. Well, actually, next door, don't you, Jeff?
Right.
Yeah, and my husband and I had heard about this sort of crazy plan that was happening. And Daniel, my husband, wasn't able to make it. But you three, and two of you three, and Jeff, for most of it, made this really interesting day and interesting journey. And I'm going to ask Don or Landon, one of you, to tell us what the plan was and what this day was all about.
We, we need adventure in life. That's just the way we're wired, I think, as human beings. And so we got to talking earlier this year about what are we going to do for Landon's 30th birthday? And he said, and so the idea kind of just came up, hey, let's do Star Peak in Montana. Let's go over to Scotchman's Peak and do that. And then let's see if we can top it off with Mikinik. So Kelly Emerson, who's a personal trainer in the area, was all on board. Landon used it as a motivation, and I should let him tell you this story, to drop about 60 pounds, didn't you, Landon?
Yeah, that's right. It's, somewhere right around there, but...
But, he just became a lean, mean hiking machine in the process. But, I wasn't convinced we could do nearly 26 miles and 9,800 feet of vertical in one day. So that became the big question as the weather started hitting the 90s that week.
And so what was the time frame that you did this in?
We determined early in the morning, the night before, it was well into the mid-90s, and we're thinking, wow, if we start on Scotchman's when it's 90 degrees, we're in trouble. So we got up at, what was it, Landon, 2:30 in the morning?
Yeah, it was 2:30 in the morning.
Jeff was all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, even though at Big Eddy Campground there were people making lots of noise next door to him. And I think 2:30, and we got together, we said a prayer in the dark and headed up Star in our headlamps. But Landon, probably of all, this is his 30th birthday, what a great way to spend your 30th birthday, was probably more focused than I've ever seen him in my life, and it's kind of fun to see your kid like that as a dad. Don't you think, Jeff, he was pretty focused?
Oh, yeah, he was possessed.
All right, well, we've started to tell the tale, but I'm going to bring you around and back you up for just a moment because I'd like to hear about your history as how you came to Sandpoint, how you came to decide on this trip. I understand the 30th birthday, but we don't know how Jeff got included, and we don't know why you picked this particular trio of hikes in order to celebrate that birthday. So let's, shall we just start with you, Landon? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I came to Sandpoint when I was four, obviously here with my dad and my mom from California. And grew up here in Sandpoint, went to Southside Elementary School and then Sandpoint Junior Academy through middle school, and then graduated high school here at Sandpoint High School. And really, I've been doing the whole hiking thing since I was just even before I was a teenager. You know, we did Mount Hood, we did Middle Teton, even growing up. It was, we did
Mount Whitney
in Northern California also. So, yeah, it's the peak bagging thing's definitely been with me for quite a while, and I think it's in my blood.
And I understand that, Don, you're no stranger to peak bagging.
Well, you know, it's pretty hard to do the kind of feats that Phil's done his whole life, you know. I'm not a long hiker. I just like to be on top of things. I'm kind of like those goats up on Scotchman's Peak. So I think when I lived in Colorado for about 5 years, I thought, man, maybe I can knock off all these 14,000 foot peaks. And so that became kind of an obsession for me. And then a couple of years ago, finished off the rest of the 14,000 foot peaks, 66 of them in the continental United States.
There's no shame in being a day hiker if you're doing that kind of elevation gain. Let's focus in on that for a moment. How many of those are in Colorado?
53 ranked 14,000 foot peaks in Colorado, right, and 12 in California, and then of course Mount Rainier here in our own backyard.
And some of these, many of these, are more than just simply a day walk up. Tell us a little bit about the range of difficulty.
And some of them, really, Phil, when you think about it, because you've done Scotchman's many times, and we did it again this last Saturday. Actually, two of the last three weekends we've done it. And, you know, Julie, we were talking about doing it in the winter, being, you know, if there's some hikers listening right now, hey, you can still do it in the winter. It's a little bit more complicated, and we were coming down, you know, we always kind of at the end of these things ask ourselves, what should we have done different? Well, we should have taken those snowshoes that were in the back of my car. That would have been a good idea.
Yeah.
But yeah, some of them are harder, but 3,700 feet of vertical is a lot of vertical, even for some of the 14ers in Colorado. Sure. You're starting at, you know, maybe 9,000 or 10,000 feet there. But the Elk Range, of course, up near Aspen, some difficult peaks down in the San Juans near Telluride, the Sangre de Cristos, the Sierras in California, there's some incredibly difficult peaks in there. So for me, realizing that I have certain limitations, yeah, I want to be on top of it, but I don't want to die doing this. No. So, you know, you hire people to do it with you.
Yeah, if you go into something like Rainier, tell us about some of the North Cascade volcanics, because this is really less hiking and more mountaineering.
I would say Rainier, I went through Rainier Mountaineering. So you go through a course and you do that. But there are peaks like Mount St. Helens and Mount Hood to some extent, and then Mount Adams. If there are hikers in this area that are interested in doing something big like that and they're in shape for it, I'd say probably Mount Adams would be an excellent beginner's kind of real big step up from what we've got here in our own backyard. But the Selkirks and the Cabinets are just some of the most spectacular peaks anywhere that I've been. I'm sure you probably feel the same way,
Phil. They really are. The Cabinet Mountains proper with the Eastern Escarpment, they have some of the greatest almost straight profile based elevation gains of mountains anywhere in the West.
You know, Jeff has been a good friend for many years. We've had lots of great adventures. He's been willing to do just about anything, and sometimes even more things than I'm willing to do. He's got a fearless attitude when it comes to standing on the point of Harrison Peak or up on A Peak, something that I probably wouldn't be doing. He likes to kind of dance around on the top of these things, right, Jeff?
Right, Don. Little exaggeration.
So we're not quite done talking with Don Otis yet, but Jeff, why don't you tell us how you got involved with this crazy scheme?
Well, first off, I've been in Sandpoint for about 27 years, and I really had a love of mountain biking, so bombing down a trail was my thing. And that's how Don and I kind of hooked up in the beginning. We'd do some mountain bike trails here in the area and over by Priest Lake, and just had a great time bombing down the trail. So that's how we got started. And somehow he started dragging me into some of these hiking adventures, and I was always game for a good hike. So I've gone to Colorado with him and hiked 3 of the 14ers in Colorado and several other peaks we've climbed over the years. But here in the last few years, you know, Landon has kind of joined us, and we've had great fun, you know, climbing peaks in the Selkirks, Cascades, and Cabinets for sure.
And will she be bothered if I mention her, your daughter? Can I mention her by name, or would that get me in trouble?
Oh, no, she'd love it.
Okay, well, Tessa's a hiker that joined you too, yes?
Yes, Tessa joined us 2 weeks ago climbing Scotchman. So it was pretty difficult conditions, quite a bit of snow on the trail. Wasn't quite as bad 2 weeks ago as it was this last Saturday, but it was a pretty challenging climb, so I was very proud that she made it to the peak.
And she's a high school kid, so it's nice to see her out working on that.
Yeah, it's good to see the young kids out on the trails.
That's right. All right, so
it's such an important part, too, I think, of the experience, the parent-child bonding through the outdoors. It's really a very important thing for us to pass on.
For sure. And, you know, Landon, I'll say, too, in the last several months, we've introduced 3 new people. Landon's wife, Danielle Schoonover, Western Pleasures Guest Ranch, her first trip up, right? And then Tessa, and then Kelly Emerson, who did it with us for the first time on Saturday. So it's kind of fun to take people up there who've never been before.
So tell us about Kelly's role in this adventure. You mentioned her involvement this summer, but she didn't climb with you. She helped to train you then?
You know, she got all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed about it. And then when it got closer to the time, you know, she goes, I don't know if I'm in shape for that. But Jeff, you know, Jeff is always good. Yeah, you know, he would have finished Mickinac too at the end, except I think he had some other appointment. But I never worry about Jeff keeping up with any of us.
No, I think if unless I'm mistaken, I'm pretty sure that Trifecta, the original idea of it was Kelly's idea to do the 3 peaks all in one day. So she had some influence. But no, she wasn't doing any personal training for any of the 3 of us, but She's a good friend who has influence, so.
She'll do more. She was with us on Saturday, and she said, you know, I forgot how much I love doing this sort of thing. So
she sounds like someone who you want to be careful about being around, because you might come up with this great idea, get the buy-in, and then, oops, you're going to have to go off and do it.
Yeah, and she's really scary when you try to put crampons on her.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, I think it might be time to come back around to the day itself. And so let's get back to that. And I understand that it was a birthday plan and it was giving Landon incentive to get fit and do something, but, you know, get in shape and have a reason to do that. But, I mean, how did you decide on this day and the 3 peaks? I mean, how did that idea come about? Because that's a very hard day. That's tough.
You know, the birthday thing wasn't necessarily the important part. It was more of just the day. It gave us a day, you know, 3 peaks, 30, you know, 30th birthday. It just kind of seemed to fit. So that's the date that we ended up choosing, was my birthday.
And what day was that?
It was July 30th.
Okay. Oh, it was your golden birthday.
It was my golden birthday. Oh, so that adds to it as well.
I see. Well, that I understand. I'm starting to understand.
So up at 2:30 in the morning, even though the days are long, it's still not quite light yet. You're setting off with headlamps and you have some knowledge of the trail, so you knew where to go. But what was that like at that moment, heading off into the dark, literally?
We called it our zombie march, pretty much. You know, all of us get up, we're all tired, and pretty much all feel like zombies, acting like zombies, kind of even making the same noise that you would expect from them.
We were grateful for the friends of Scotchman who'd sort of made that trail a little bit cleaner for us.
Yeah, I think we'd gotten to the Star Peak Trail just a week or two before. Yeah,
beautiful.
So Star Peak, tell us about that experience for those who might not have ever been to the top of Star Peak.
Well, my dad mentioned earlier that I had a little bit more focus than the rest of the group. The rest of the group was focused on the huckleberries, and if any of you have been out hiking this summer, it was an incredible huckleberry summer.
Yes, so, it was. It was crazy.
And so who else started with you on the first leg?
We had actually a pretty good group of us. There was my buddy Alex, who actually completed the trifecta with us, and we had Kathy and Jeff here.
Kathy's my wife, and then her son, Riley Hedin.
Yep, and I believe that was the whole group.
So that's a pretty big group, though. You had a lot of support for the first peak.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, we did. And, you know, really, my wife went on the adventure with us, not on the peak, but she was there for the support. She was there taking care of the kids, helping out with packing up camp, in getting ready for us to be able to move on to Scotchman after Star. And so we did have a lot of support. Danielle was great support for us.
So you got to the top of the peak. It was probably a little bit after sunrise.
Absolutely spectacular up there. You've got that golden glow coming out. You're standing up there in that lookout, Phil. I'll tell you, anybody that's listening that hasn't done Star Peak, it is a spectacular place to be.
The first time I climbed Star Peak was in February. We did it on snowshoes, obviously, that year. But snow was nicely set up, packed down. It wasn't too hard to hike. We're on top of the world. We thought there'd be no one else around. It's February. Someone comes climbing up the backside off trail.
Oh, my. And, Jeff, were you dancing around on the top of that one? Were you still dancing on the first peak?
I don't think I was dancing at all. It's a tough climb. Star is almost, I think it's over 4,000 feet of hiking, so it's very challenging. And having not worked out pretty much all summer, I hadn't hiked much, it was a pretty good test. So it's a... But, one thing I should mention about Star Peak is an incredible hike because it's so accessible, even in the wintertime, because you just drive down Highway 200 and you can park right along the highway and you hit the trail. And so a lot of trails, Scotchman, for instance, is snowed in. In a typical year, you wouldn't be able to get up Scotchman. So anyway, it's a great accessible hike.
It's one I haven't hiked, Phil, and the rest of you gentlemen, so maybe this winter will have to be my year for Star Peak.
We'll need to put you on one of the organized hikes.
There you go. Yeah. I will have to do it.
Don't forget your snowshoes.
We've been up there when that lookout was literally frozen, completely encrusted in ice. We've got some pictures of that are absolutely incredible.
So up and down, how long did it take you, the first leg?
Do you remember?
I'm sure we can probably do the math and figure it out. I know that we started a little late, and we actually just about made up the time for what we had kind of scheduled for it.
So. We ended up, let's just take a step back for a minute. Landon was focused like a dog with a bone, okay? So he was like, no picking huckleberries. Let's just go. We've got to get up there because we've got to be down so we can get the Scotchman Trail. And that's the way you have to think about these things.
A big day, I would say so.
So time-wise, I think that the whole thing took us 15 hours from start to finish. So, it's getting up one, getting down, jumping in the river because it was hot, getting back out, rehydrating, hitting the next trail. And I think Scotchman's, we picked up a lot of time on that. We turned that out in about just a little over 2 hours to the top on that.
So 2:30 in the morning, not to quibble, was that Montana time or Pacific time?
That was Montana time, wasn't it?
Yeah, okay.
Oh, my.
So 15 hours, you made it back in time.
Oh, maybe
for happy
we
hour.
Did it 16 hours. I don't know.
But I guess my point is you made it back in time for happy hour.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, we had plans for pizza, ice cream, and beer at the end. So that's why there was such a tight schedule on it. We needed to save enough time for the end.
Because what is a birthday without pizza, ice cream,
exactly.
And beer?
Exactly.
That's right.
Well, Landon probably lost 60 pounds for that hike in preparation for it, but he probably gained 5 or 10 back at the party.
That's right. Well, I want to hear a little more about the support because you had to really kind of get from point A to point B to point C. And were there cars waiting for you? How did that work? Or did you just all jump in your own cars and go to the next peak with someone feeding you sandwiches? How did that work?
So we had food packed up and ready, and just like time, we had everything pretty well organized. We would have spare food in the cars. We had the group of us that carried on from one peak to the next and that had actually planned on doing them all. We had one car. We had my Subaru, and we had a bunch of supplies packed in the back, Gatorade powder and sandwiches and trail mix and all that sorts of stuff. But we had, like I said, my wife who took camp back and swapped out vehicles and supplied us with extra food and drinks along the trails and got the party ready for us too. So she was really busy. So like I said, there's a lot of support there.
Think she had great beverages waiting for you at the end of the trail, too.
There you go.
We can get to that part when we get to Mikinik.
All right.
We're very grateful to John Hagedon, by the way.
So tell us more about that.
Lots of good free IPA. from John Haganon at Idaho Poor Authority. So we should give him a plug here.
We should. We should thank him. It's important. And I think we've talked about two of the three peaks. And how did it go when you finally got to Mikinik? Were you just dragging or feeling inspired? How was it? How was the last peak?
You know, surprisingly enough, we had, especially, at least I remember myself more than these guys, but I had a lot of energy, a lot of excitement, you know. At this time, whether or not it hurt or not, you know, we're in it. We have the last one left, and pain or not, let's just punch it and get it over with.
So. Yeah, it's real easy to not look at Mikinik and take it seriously when you're that tired. I mean, it's still seven miles and 2,150 feet of gain. So it's a grinder, you know, and you're tired. You're not picking up your feet coming down. It's a rocky trail. But we were kind of surprised that we did as well as we did on that. By the time the three of us had come off that, we were pretty darn happy, weren't we?
We might have just been a little out of our minds, but...
Yeah, Landon doesn't sleep very well the night before some of these big events, so the poor guy was dealing with about 2 hours of sleep.
Yeah, it's really easy to take your focus off coming down a trail, and particularly one like the Mikinik where you mentioned the footing's not always the best, mm-hmm. most secure. It's a focus. And
It was important for us to have trekking poles too, which I always recommend for somebody, especially people who might have previous knee injuries, or might even be concerned about their knees. Or poles have always been really helpful, and I see a lot of people carrying a lot of weight in their packs and not carrying poles. It's something I would definitely recommend doing.
Good advice.
So you got down off of the Star Peak. You got into a car. Someone else was driving over to the Scotchman Peak Trailhead. What was your experience like there?
Get your new stuff together. Hydrate. Start heading up the trail like a couple of zombies. You're on a mission. You know, you're just moving. You're just going up, and you're thinking, "Man, I'm going to be so tired." But as you got up the trail, you know that first section that you guys at Scotchman's Peak have sort of redone, which is fantastic. It's not so straight up now. You know, we thought, hey, we feel pretty good here. This isn't so bad. And we just kept that pace going. And I know we hit the top of that in well under 2.5 hours, whatever.
That's remarkable. So you hit it at a time of day when you might have seen other hikers.
Did we see any going up? I think we saw them coming down.
Yeah, we saw people coming on our way down.
Well, that's because you guys were going so fast up, nobody could catch up with you. Yeah. But I had a couple of hikers come by me, and I saw quite a few hikers going up.
Did you?
Yes.
What day of the week was this?
It was a weekend. It must have been a Saturday.
It was a Sunday.
We're combining, you know, educating people and not feeding the goats up there at the same time. Hey, don't feed the goats. We're on our way down.
Going to have to talk to people about, did you see goats?
Yeah, we did.
Did the goats even try to keep up with you?
No. The goats are much quicker than we are. And plus, they'll go off that north face, Bill, and they can just stand on those little edges. And it's incredible to me.
Don't try to keep up with a goat, at least not the places it goes.
Especially an old goat like Jeff.
An old goat like me. I couldn't keep up with these guys.
Okay, I think I have the order mixed up, which we know it started with Star. Was Scotchman's last?
Middle.
Got it. I got it. I understand. So I don't have it mixed up. So someone must have added up how much elevation you climbed up and down for that day. What was it?
We figure it's about 9,800 feet vertical.
Whoa.
And just under a marathon, so about 25.5 miles.
Wow. It's amazing.
It's not just the elevation, but it's how steep that elevation comes, too. It comes at a price.
Well, Phil, you know what it's like to do lots of mileage, so I don't know what your longest day on the trail is, but I'm sure it's a lot more than 25 miles. Yeah. It's just when you throw that vertical in that you kind of get
it. My longest day is a lot more miles, but a lot less vertical. And the biggest days of vertical, fewer miles. And there's a sweet spot combination in there that's a real challenge. The 9,000 foot's a challenge no matter how you do it.
Well, when you get to be my age, it's a challenge no matter what. So I'm just grateful to still be able to be out there and do it. It's a real gift from God.
These three look like they can handle a little bit of hiking, so don't let them fool you. I think it would be a great time for us to take a song break, and then I'd like to come back and ask them if there were any lessons they learned, any upcoming hikes planned as a result, etc. But for the moment, let's take a song break, and it's a bit in honor of the Otises, because we're going to be hearing Otis Redding down in the valley. Yesterday was the 50th anniversary of his tragic death, and we've got two of our three guests are Otises, so... Let's hear And that was Otis Redding with Down in the Valley. And of course, for two reasons we played that song. We've got Otis's here today, and poor Otis passed away 50 years ago.
Yeah, and if you're just tuning in, this is 88.5 KRFY in Ponderate, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. And we're here today with three local adventurers talking about climbing the trilogy of Star Peak, Scotchman Peak, and Mikinic with Don Otis, Landon Otis, and Jeff Beeman. And we're going to hear a little bit more about that, and then a whole lot of other adventures locally that they've done or would like to do. So before we move on to that, why don't we put some finishing touches on this grand birthday experience. What did you take away from it, Landon? What did it ultimately mean to you?
You know, it was a real good goal, and what it taught me is that I really work well with goals. I need to set a goal ahead of me, something difficult but not unreachable, and shoot for it. And, you know, I always really enjoy good time with friends. And I think probably some of the best time with friends is spent hiking. A lot of good conversation happens. A lot of bonding happens.
That's a great thing to take away from that day.
Don?
What I take away from it? I think the same thing. I've always been pretty goal oriented. So it was just another opportunity to see what we could do. You know, if you don't really know, a challenge means nothing unless you're not 100% sure that you might not make that challenge. So I think that sense of adventure is something that in many cases is missing in our culture today. I'm not talking about the adventure seekers who are jumping off of buildings and things. I'm talking about young people who are more involved with their technology than they are and going out and doing something, because, you know, you really build self-esteem through accomplishing something, some goal that you think is bigger than you. And we weren't completely sure we were going to be able to do this thing. I kept telling Landon, well, I really don't think so. And I think that sort of almost worked as a reverse psychology for him, because he became a hiking machine that summer.
That's very neat.
I think that's a really good point. It's really hard, I think, to have great success without some element of the potential for failure.
And fear is a big part as well. You know, you're dealing with equipment. You're dealing with all these variables. Phil, you know this as well as anybody. You know, you can't control the weather. You know, your equipment breaks down. There's all kinds of things that can happen that you don't expect. That happened to be a day that just sort of worked just like clockwork for us.
And Jeff, other than learning that you've got to keep an eye on what you agree to do with these two Otises, what did you learn?
Well, that's for sure, Julie. I was really inspired by Land and his commitment to this goal. I mean, he really went through a transformation. He worked hard all summer long preparing for this hike. I mean, he did every weekend. I'd hear he'd be out climbing something, and he put on a lot of miles and a lot of vertical feet and lost 60 pounds, close to 60 pounds. So anyway, I was really inspired by his commitment to this, and it was just a great to see his accomplishment and to be part of it.
That's amazing. And something else has come from this, maybe started before, but has been ongoing, and it has to do with a website and trail hike information. Landon, why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, so a couple of years ago, I started working for a company here in Sandpoint called Keoki Building Websites, and I decided it would be a good opportunity for me to create my own website about hiking, because it's been such a passion of mine and a thing that my dad and I have shared. So the idea was to put together a website to provide information for people in the North Idaho, specifically in the North Idaho community, for hiking, to provide them trip reports about how certain trails are at certain times of the year. You know, if we go up to Scotchman in the winter, and someone happens to check it, you know, a week after we go up, they can have an idea of what the conditions are. Or also an opportunity for them to be able to find out, you know, how to get to a trailhead if we've been there. So we'll put together a trip report or a trail description. And our website is hikenorthidaho.com. And it's hopefully can be something you guys can use.
Hikenorthidaho.com.
Correct.
So tell us how that's going. Is there a lot of interaction?
You know, I originally put a form on there for community involvement. You know, people could post their own information if they get out and hike. They could post something up and we would provide it on there. But there really hasn't been a whole lot of involvement yet. So if I was to see some sort of interest in it, I would probably put that back. But for the time being, it got pulled down.
Oh, so it's not active right now?
No, it's not. There's a form on there. So if anyone wants to submit their information, they can submit it to the form and I can look it through and post it. But for right now, it's the automatic submission form.
Is oh, okay. There. So the website itself is
yeah,
live.
Yeah, the website's live. Okay.
We need to connect you with a couple of folks from Idaho Trails Association. We'll talk after.
Okay.
And during the break, Phil had mentioned that it would be interesting to learn about hiking this time of the year on Scotchman because you all have been there recently.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about what that experience was like.
Scotchman's in the winter, in my opinion, is the best, most exciting time of the year to be up there. It's a magical wonderland. And, you know, two of the last three weekends we've been up there, and it's been different both times. You know, the first time, you know, you've got that stream running down below and you've got all these trees that are ice encrusted up above. And then on Saturday, we're up there and there's far more snow and a lot more trying to get through heavy snow, but not so much ice encrusted up there. What would you say, Landon?
Well, I was going to say, surprisingly enough, though, unlike most years, in the, you know, mid-December, we were actually able to get all the way to the trailhead with our car without any trouble in the snow. Which is a total blessing.
Yeah, that's unusual in December. Often the gate is or the road is gated a couple of half miles beforehand, and that's about as far as you can drive. So you have to add a little extra distance. Which in these days of not much sunlight, that means you're starting off in the dark, even if you're not starting off at 2:30.
Yeah, it's good to get an early start on Scotchman, especially this time of year. You know, too often we are coming down the mountain and other people are going up and we're just shaking our heads because we realize that it's going to be dark here pretty quick and if they don't have headlamps, they could be in trouble. So anyway, good to be, to get that early start.
So and, go ahead.
And you know what it's like on that upper ridge. You get up there above the don't feed the goat sign and you can have just terrifying winds up there. It's a mixture, but most of the time you do have a wind up there. So the temperatures at the start obviously are very different than what you get up at the top.
So there is some preparation and additional skills involved with doing it in the winter.
And good equipment, you know, good shoes. You don't want your feet get wet. You want to have gaiters on. You've got to have lots of layers, obviously. But, you know, pick a good weather day and go for it. I love Scotchman's in the winter.
Snowshoes?
Now I would say yes, based on my foolish experience. Yeah. I would take snowshoes. Would you guys agree?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. That's right.
And there's a point about two-thirds of the way up that a lot of the locals, we call it the meadows, where there is enough of an incline there that you have to be able to assess avalanche danger and look for safe routes.
Mm-hmm. We were on that, you know, because the trail skirts all the way around to the west side of Scotchman's up near the top. You can bypass that and take the ridge straight up in the winter if the snow's not too bad. But you do have to be careful if you're going outside the trees. Those of you that are listening that have been up there and understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah, very much so.
Although the rewards are fabulous with clear days in the winter, the scenery, the view of Lake Pendre and the distant mountains. Tell us about that.
It was absolutely beautiful. This last Saturday, there was low cloud cover that covered the lake and the valley down below. But, you know, you get above this cloud cover and you look out and it's just this blanket and you get to see the sun. The sun's bright, no clouds above you. And you look out across and you can see the Selkirks. It's absolutely, absolutely beautiful.
So what are your plans to climb next?
As far as something local, you know, who knows? It could be Scotchman. It could be I'm probably going to go do Micnic this afternoon, actually.
But, so if Kelly were here, I'd be prodding her to make a suggestion for New Year's Eve. When I was living in Colorado Springs, there was a group called the Adaman Club. Every New Year's Eve, they would add one more man to the club's roster, and they would climb up Pike's Peak. And they would do it at night with lights so that you could watch it from the city down below. And I don't know. I'm assuming they still do it. But.
Yeah, 7,000 vertical from Manitou Springs. So, yeah, I remember seeing those guys.
That's pretty extreme.
I'm seeing the genesis of a local Adaman club with the three of you and a couple others. And over time, you could add a person, man or woman, to it. What would you do?
I think our goal is always early spring is to hit something in the Cascades. We love hiking over there. We like the big volcanoes. There's lots of peaks that you can go. You know, but you talk about how crowded it can be. I mean, there are some peaks that we've been on on the west side that are, you know, there's hundreds of people. Jeff and I came off Mount Hood last year, and we thought we were the last ones to summit that day. We came down through the pearly gates and around the corner, and we saw a conga line of people. Must have been 100 people still coming up late in the day with the clouds starting to hit. So I think our first goal of the year each year is to hit something in the Cascades.
That's neat. Now, I'm wondering, there's not another auspicious birthday that you'll be planning for? No one's got a big one and a big trip planned?
Yeah, Phil's. When's your birthday, Phil?
it's in August.
No. Well, I don't know about these guys, but I've considered the idea of making the trifecta an annual event. But I don't know if I'm going to be able to talk these guys into doing it again. So
yeah, it's pretty hard. Well, we are starting to run short on time, so I'll ask you if you'd like to add any last thoughts, and then we'll take a song break and come back for some upcoming events.
Get out there and just try it, no matter what time of the year it is. When I moved back here from Colorado, I decided that I'm going to get out every weekend, regardless of what the weather is. And I think if you do that, you take that mentality and you have the right equipment, you're never disappointed, even if it's just a local trail like Mackinac.
Get out and hike. Good advice.
Yeah, and there's so many great hikes right here in our area, you know, from the Selkirks to the Cabinets. And there are so many great mountains, easy trails to access, great hiking opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, my advice again is set a difficult but reachable goal out ahead of you and do it.
And if you need information on the trails, that's available, some of it on Hike North Idaho.
Right.
At Scotchman's Peak, your own website has some trails on there too, because I've been on there and I've seen descriptions there in the cabinet. So that there's the Jim Mellon book, the Keoki books are excellent guidebooks in the Selkirks as well as in the cabinet.
Yeah, and so the Trails of the Wild Selkirks and the Trails of the Wild Cabinets, both excellent resources. We've had Jim Mellon on before to speak about his guidebooks, and Keoki publishes them. They're available here locally at a large number of retailers, pretty much anywhere you'd go for outdoor stuff.
That's right. And Don's an author, too.
My last book was on boys, men, and masculinity issues. It was called Whisker Rubs, Restoring the Masculine Identity. But it talks about a lot of these things that we've been discussing here today, the importance of helping our children develop a sense of who they are, and in self-esteem being something that we don't confer on them, but something that we give them an opportunity to develop on their own.
And I'll bet challenges are in there, too. Finding challenges.
Lots of challenges. That's what life's about, right?
And, that's right.
You know, it's nice to pick your challenges rather than have those challenges thrown at you.
But it's important to learn how to deal with them. So when they are thrown at you, you know how to respond.
That's a great point, Phil. And I think that we don't realize that when we put ourselves out there and we do difficult things, that the difficult things that do come our way become that much easier, more manageable.
That title once again, and then we'll
it's
draw
called
to a
Whisker
close.
Rubs, Developing the Masculine Identity.
All right.
Well, thank you for coming on the show this morning. Next time you have a grand adventure, let us know. We can even give you a little preview and line up folks to follow it. But thank you, Don and Landon and Jeff.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Really an amazing story. Thank you. So we'll take a song break, and we're going to be listening to Joe Walsh with Rocky Mountain Way. And that was Joe Walsh with Rocky Mountain Way.
Lots of mountain music this morning, which is appropriate for our theme. And the Rocky Mountain Way was a great song to commemorate Don's climbing of all of the highest peaks in Colorado. What a feat.
It sure was. Those guys were interesting. A big day and a really big birthday for Landon, and I just didn't expect it to be quite as interesting as it was. That was a big day for those guys.
It almost seems like we should say, though, don't try this at home. Or, in other words, find your own challenge, the one that's most suitable for you. Push yourself a little bit, but don't try to go out and necessarily keep up with those three.
No, plan well. And the other lesson is that there are plenty of challenges like that in this area. We have so much to be thankful for here in the Sandpoint area.
We do.
Well, other things to be thankful about are that we here at KRFY are in the midst of an online giving appeal, and we are very thankful for you, our listeners, our members, and our underwriters. And we'll just take a moment and mention how important you are to us here at 88.5 KRFY, and you are the listeners in listener-supported community radio. This is the time at the end of the year for you to consider making a membership renewal, an additional donation, or becoming a new member for the first time, right, Phil?
Absolutely. It takes a community to have community radio, and so if you're not a member, become one.
It would be great if you would consider that, and here are a couple of ways you might consider doing that. The first would be by going to our website at krfy.org. If you go there, you'll see a donate tab, and click on that, and you'll be able to follow the steps and become a member or donate. You might also call our station, and the number here is 208-265-2992. There may not be a live person. Please leave a message, and we will return the call and take your donation. And thirdly, you can stop in or mail in. Mail something in to P.O. Box. Can we see it, Phil?
Yep, P.O. Box 2465. That's Sandpoint, Idaho, 83864.
Very good. Well, let's move on and talk about some upcoming morning shows. Tomorrow, we're going to be joined by morning show hosts, Chris Bessler and Susie Prez, who will be visiting with Eric Blumdahl from Meadowbrook Home Furnishing. They just gave the station some beautiful new benches. They gave us a donation. We want to thank them. A second segment will be a visit from Kim Keaton from Reclaim Idaho. That's going to be at 8 a.m. tomorrow Wednesday at 88.5. And then Thursday, join morning hosts Jim Healy and Jack Peterson, and they will be visiting with Debbie Love, who is the director of Bonner County Food Bank. It's an important time of the year for the food banks. And something I often neglect to remind folks of is that if you're up early, as I am, you can be listening to Bernie Mosier from 5 a.m. until 6:30 a.m. on Wednesdays with Easy Listening. It's a great show.
Yeah, that is. We have a lot of good local programming, so that's all the more reason why community radio delivers the things important to the community. Next Tuesday on our morning show, we're going to feature Rich Del Carlo in an annual tribute to the Christmas Bird Count, the great Christmas Bird Count, which is something that's been going on for a couple of decades here and attracts a lot of folks locally.
Yes, and began early in the 1900s in the country. It's been going on forever and not as long here, but it's really a fun event. And I've joined Rich once. I plan to do it again. And it's important for understanding what's happening in the bird community, in the bird world. So it'll be an interesting show, and we'll look forward to hearing about it.
Yeah, lots of events coming up this week, Julie. Even starting tonight, you can go to the Ponderay Winery for the annual Toast the Trail event to benefit the Friends of the Ponderay Bay Trail. This is the sixth annual Toast the Trail celebration and fundraiser that starts at 4 p.m. at the Ponderay Winery at 301 Cedar Street. And tomorrow night, really important event tomorrow night, Julie.
Oh, I know, Phil. You begin and I'll finish if you don't.
Come meet the Brew Crew, the KRFY annual meeting, fundraiser, and raffle. That's tomorrow, December 13th from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Idaho Poor Authority. It'll be featuring music by Doug Bond and Marty Perrone, and all of your favorite, and maybe not so favorite, KRFY DJs.
It's going to be a great opportunity because there will be a raffle. We'll be having really interesting raffle items, live music, as Phil's already mentioned. And additionally, we'll be having our annual meeting, so we'll be passing out our annual report and talking about the state of the radio station. So it's a great opportunity to learn about KRFY.
And most importantly, Fremont Brewing is going to be there.
Very important. Very important. So be sure to drink the Fremont Brewing beer, and that will help everyone.
Other events coming up this week on the 14th, Idaho Conservation League's Holiday Party and Art Show. Ring in the holiday season at ICL's annual holiday party held from 5 to 8 p.m. This year will be in the Columbia Bank Building. That's the Columbia Bank Community Plaza at 231 North 3rd Street. The evening will also feature an exhibit by ICL artist and resident Linda Lancey.
I'm really looking forward to seeing the photos.
Yeah, that should be a really, really wonderful day. Always have great artists in residence. Continuing on with the holiday theme, because this is the season and this is the week for lots of holiday events. Also on Thursday the 14th, the Holiday Open House and Giving Tree fundraiser at North Idaho Animal Hospital. That's at 320 South Ella. North Idaho Animal Hospital invites the community to help celebrate the holiday Get toasted at our hot chocolate bar. Now, that sounds like fun. Meet the new veterinarians during the holiday open house and Giving Tree fundraiser from 5:30 to 7 p.m.
Sounds fun.
And I think you can dress up your dogs and cats, seriously, and there's a costume contest. I know our boys won't really stand for that very well.
Your boys are cats, Phil.
Yes, they are. They don't really like to do dress up.
That's a little harder. Yeah. Dogs are usually more willing.
If you're in that festive mood, also Thursday night is the fifth annual party with the Selkirk Firefighters. It's that time of year again. If you're growing out your Movember mustache, even though we're in, I guess Movember doesn't have to just be November, it can be December. Come celebrate with the Selkirk Fire Department and McDuff's to help raise some money for prostate cancer research and community cancer services. The event will be held from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. at McDuff's Beer Hall at 220 Cedar Street.
So we'll be seeing long beards and mustaches at that event.
I think so. I think that's the plan, to continue to grow them out. On the 15th, that's Friday, is the winter exhibit opening from POAC. The community is welcome to attend the grand opening of the Pondere Art Council's winter exhibit at the Sandpoint Center. That's formerly the Columbia Bank Atrium, the taller building over by Church Street, 414 Church Street, from 5:30 to 7 p.m. This event will feature three distinct exhibits: Rooted in Fiber, the annual extravaganza of creative fiber arts, Works in Miniature, a collection of pieces no larger than 8x8, perfect for gift giving, and Beyond Form, a special exhibit of innovative abstract paintings. So it should be a lot of fun.
Very much so.
A holiday tradition not to be missed is the Pendere Chorale and Orchestra. On the 15th, they'll be presenting Charpentier's Midnight Mass for Christmas and pieces from Vivaldi's Betis Vere and Gloria at 7 p.m. at St. Joseph's Catholic Church at 601 South Lincoln. Free admission and open to the public. So the season would not be the season if it weren't for the Jazzy Nutcracker.
Oh,
at the
yes.
Panda, one of our favorites at 300 North First Avenue. Studio One Dance Academy will host the performance of the Jazzy Nutcracker at 6:30 p.m. So if you haven't experienced it before, come down and have some holiday magic. Tickets are available at Studio One or the door.
Nutcracker Extravaganza. Well, that's about it for this week, Phil.
Lots of Christmas fun.
I think so. Everyone have a great holiday week. It's getting busier and busier as we wind up and head toward Christmas. And just enjoy the week and don't get too busy.